best of stews in Dublin. Barch, the first in the Gaeilge. Welcome to Motherfucklore, podcast of words.
Irish.
Irish words.
And words from Ireland. I'm Derek O'Shea.
I'm Patrick O'Cravonic.
And I'm Geraldine McAvoy.
And we have a special guest in the studio today. Walter Daffy.
Hey, Diego, what's up? Daffy from TVRX, how y'all doing?
Hello. Woo! Great.
Thank you so much for joining us.
I don't know, I have nothing. Anyways, yes. How are yous?
We're getting on great. What's the crack?
Not much, man. It's raining outside. It's cool to be spending my lunch, you know, talking to you guys instead of at my desk, you know, watching YouTube videos, ignoring people. So it's a nice change of pace.
Watching YouTube at work.
Yeah, I mean, during lunch time, I don't want to talk to these guys. Like, I don't know why people think we got to be friends.
I can get down with that on a molecular level. I don't know. I spend all day with you people. Don't want to be friends.
I get out of my office for that reason. It's like, where do you go for lunch? It's like, sometimes nowhere.
Yeah.
But I'm just out of here.
Just away from you people.
I go back to my 4 times a day. Maybe I'm crying. Maybe I'm just chilling. I just need to go. You know?
Oh, there's nothing better than going to the bathroom and getting paid for it.
Oh, God, yes.
I'm not going to the bathroom on my lunch break.
Can't
you
really.
Sucker.
I'm a PhD student. Not getting paid for anything.
Absolutely. No, you don't take a slash on flexi time.
Daffy, you are in Ireland's, I'm going to say Ireland's best new hip hop act, TVRX.
Ooh.
Love you guys.
You know
what?
I think some people would disagree.
Fuck
me. listen, I think we're good. I think we're like, in terms of Ireland, Top three, I would say, new hip hop acts in the country.
All right, okay, that's
maybe.
Good. Okay,
yeah.
I'll take that.
I'm gonna get killed. We're gonna get killed for this. The podcast invited so much smoke, you have no idea. Now they're back. No, because
yeah. So Irish hip hop, it's actually a more burgeoning and bigger scene than people might actually imagine.
I mean, it's like it's definitely growing, and like people are selling shows, like, and it's because you see some bands who are like popping, but they would struggle to sell a show, and then you see like a hip hop act from. Who knows where, like Cork or something, they're like doing Workman's and selling out. It's like, you know.
I love that. Who knows where is Cork?
Man, I had someone in mind, like Crackboy Mental, shouts out to him. But Cork is popping. Cork is the real capital of this country, and I stand by that.
Safe.
No, if you look at my Twitter, I've been a Cork stan for a minute now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No. we've been Cork stan since we did a live show down there, and we learned very quickly, if you're not a Cork stan, you're not getting out of there. You're not getting out alive, man.
Yeah. Almost met up with you guys as well. It was I think I got the message a day late or a little bit too late.
Oh, that's right. We were briefly overlapping. We're like ships in the night, and you're in Cork, and we were in Cork.
Yeah, and you're like, do you want to do this thing tomorrow? I'm gonna be very hungover. If I had known, I would have like stopped drinking at a certain time or like capped it a little bit. But I was.
We wouldn't have stopped you drinking now.
No, fairness, it wasn't that
important.
Hungover podcast guests are the best.
Yeah,
absolute best.
They got that deep whiskey voice.
Yeah,
like,
and there's no filter.
Love that.
There's no filter. Just gonna like, nah, fuck this.
Yeah, we can curse here. Yeah.
I
don't know what any of the process is. I'm just here. Happy to be here.
No, you've got your two top swearers here, myself and Pather.
Oh, perfect.
Disputed,
perfect.
Will not accept the title of top swearer.
It's you.
Like,
it is you.
Okay.
It is you. You swear
question,
more than me.
Question. What's your favorite Irish like swear word? Give me some things to put in the pocket so I can like curse on English radio, but they can't stop me. You know what I'm saying?
I think you can go with feck, definitely. Because the Brits are like, that's very
they
twee.
Think it's
like,
cute.
Yeah. Whereas if you go like royally, fuck, like they'll beep that. That's
they know
probably,
that.
Yeah,
they know that that's bad.
Yeah. Shite as well. I think it's a softer form of shit.
Yeah. If you're gonna go into Irish,
yeah,
cockadell.
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 Okay.
Devil's shit.
Oh man! In what context do you use that?
It's just like if something is an absolute clusterfuck, you just look at something, and you just go, oh, cockadell.
That kind of sounds like a swear word, though. Like
a little bit. Yeah. Sounds too much like
You need like a secret one, you know?
Oh, I need a secret one. Yeah.
Bud, hey bud, because when bud is the Irish for a penis, so you're like, hey bud.
That's so cute. The Irish word for penis has no business being that cute.
It is though. It sounds small. Like it sounds like
it does. It's,
I mean, like we are. Yeah, we're not renowned.
Yo, yeah. It's funny to throw my band partner under the bus a little bit here. He's super into it. If he's like having sex and they like dirty talking Irish, he's like, oh, that's cool. But now hearing that's bud, I'm like, oh, I don't know how that sentence sounds. It doesn't sound too fun.
I don't know any guys who actually refer to their own penis as their bud.
Bud.
It's my best bud. We go everywhere together.
It's a more. What's that? It's a more.
Oh, what? God. Ew, no.
No. Oh, sorry.
My big snake.
My big snake.
I actually fucked with that one. Yeah, I might take that. I might take that. Just, no, this is the way you said it, the energy. It was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So other than throwing your band partner Matt O under the bus for like what he likes to do when he's riding, how did Tebby Rex come about? What was the genesis?
Yo, actually, funny enough, because it ties quite nicely with his podcast. So they did sing in Maynooth. We both went to Maynooth. Shout out Maynooth alum, best college in the world.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
But they do sing where they have like, societies enter like a Eurovision, like a Eurovision kind of thing, right? So I was representing the Literary and Debating Society, and Matt was representing the Kulaks. I was like, what's the Kulaks?
Law students. Like, that's that Literary and Debating Society? That's law
student bullshit. Like, listen, I'm gonna have to throw some actual history down. I was in Lit and Deb before Maynooth even had a law course. It's ancient.
It's an old society in the college.
Second oldest society in the college.
Oh, that is geography nonsense.
No, Kulakt. The Kulakt.
Oh, yeah, but they weren't officially formed. Like, there was. Anyways.
Jesus Christ. Because there
was
actual. But funny enough,
it's like, he was in the Kulakt. I'm like, what's the Kulakt? It's like the Irish society, man. What they do is talk about Irish. What the fuck? I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And the end of the competition, and like, he came first, I came second. He cheated. No big deal. But I think meeting him and like kind of interacting with that society, I'm like, that's kind of lit. You guys do stuff. Because I couldn't, you know, obviously with school and stuff, you perceive Irish to be like functional and it's not like as fun, so I was like, what is a, is this like a study group, like what is the Kulakt, you know? But they were all like, during that competition, like man energetic and really supporting them, and definitely cheated.
And did you
how do you cheat in a talent competition?
So the rule was you do one song, right? That was the rule. He did a medley of like seven songs. It was like 7 minutes. It's like, you can't just do the most popular song, and if they don't like that one, play another one they like, and then call that one song. Like, that's not how.
Who let that happen?
Oh man, the Kulakt has too much power in Maynooth, man. Like, they're breaking heads, man. You don't want that smoke.
You don't fuck with the Kulakt.
You don't. On God, you don't, man. You don't want that smoke. Like, so, nah, they won't feel that at all.
What did you sing?
I did, because I was mean artsy. I was like, you know what? It's not going to be a fun, popular one, but it's going to be like, people are going to appreciate it. So I did Breeze Blocks. I'm like, you know what? It's a hard time. It's like, it's not even a fun song, but it's like, people are like, yo, he really did it. And then
that's
came second.
Yeah, that's definitely why it's nothing to do with the cheating. Like, that might be why he came second.
No, Breeze Blocks is fine. You don't like Breeze Blocks?
I don't know. I feel like I'd enjoy a medley. Like.
So Matt cheated and won, you didn't cheat. You were the honorable second place, the moral victor. How do you reconcile that difference and become?
I mean, we haven't really. I've never really faced it.
Clearly, he's not over it.
I just kept it close to the chest. No, but I remember one time I was on.
Until now, he listened to this podcast. He's like, bro, you could have told me.
You could have mentioned. I'm like, where do you think your stuff was going? I was stealing from you this whole time. Just like, slowly, every time I was in your house, I was stealing little items.
You're just waiting to do a Robbie Williams on it. Just like, fucking leave and project.
No, I'm just trying, you know, like, ride that white privilege to the top. And then once there, I'll make my own break for it, you know. I'm like, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Goodbye.
Remember me from Tebby Rex? Well, I got rid of the cheater.
What's the crack? So I posted on Facebook and I was like, who wants to make music like Childish Gambino, Chance the Rapper, Kate Nash, like No Name? And like, he replied, he's like, yeah, I would love to make music like that. So we met up and he played me one of his songs and I was like, this is actually really dope. And then we just went from there and that's how the band formed.
I am so surprised to see Kate Nash in that list of influences.
Oh, word.
I'm not surprised one bit. Like,
No, I mean, she's deadly. Like, she's there's fire. No doubt about it. Yeah. She's fire. Absolutely a class, but it's just. In that oeuvre, in that sort of like, you know, it's not exactly a seamless transition from Childish Gambino to Kate Nash.
But you know what they have really in common though, and what I'm a really big fan of, is that like, Kate Nash sounds like Kate Nash. Like, there's a uniqueness there to a voice. And same, I would argue with Matt's voice, the same I would argue with Gambino's voice, where like, they sound like themselves, you know? Yeah. Like, there's stronger, like, I find it also, I do teach music workshop classes to kids sometimes. I use Kate Nash's foundations, and now I pair it with what's that Justin Bieber record? It's like, What Do You Mean?
Oh, yeah.
And they're both about like complicated relationships, right? And I'll say, okay, where do they differ and what they do differently? And Kate Nash does this really interesting thing where she'll sing notes a little bit off tune to kind of emphasize a point. Or she'll like do things in a way where it's not about, I'm trying to sing as best as humanly possible, but I'm trying to convey as much as emotion as possible. And I think Childish Gambino does that really well, where he'll stop raps and like talk like two lines and go back to rapping because he wanted to convey that kind of confusion, which I think is really cool. So that's why I like all those kind of artists.
Yeah.
It's Kate Nash occupied an interesting place in Irish radio for a while, and that there was a, because there's a certain amount of Irish only broadcast was expected, and but there was a loophole for it was based on the Jack Charlton granny rule. And I think Kate Nash, because she had an Irish
granny.
She had
an Irish grandfather.
So oh, really?
What? Yeah, yeah. So for a while, Irish stations were required to give 10% of their airtime to Irish artists.
Were they?
And like, genuinely. And then like the early 2000s.
What sort of GAA weird shit is that like?
Yeah, but it was supposed to stimulate the Irish music recording industry.
Sure.
But the problem is, just like the Irish football industry, like, you know, playing a bunch of lads who grew up in London and play for Millwall doesn't help St. Pat's get any better. Playing Kate Nash records doesn't help a recording artist in Dublin, you know? So it sort of backfires. It's not there anymore. There isn't much of a music mandate anymore. It's just the problem is things have got a little bit samey, and it's a lot of top 30 stations and all sort of like nine Ed Sheeran tracks a month, and it's just...
Rinse. And what's really funny as well is if you know... I always say as well, if you have like one hit record and you own your music, that's you set for life. Because to give example, Imro here, for example, let's talk about RT. So RT with Imro, you get probably like €1 per minute of play. Three minute songs, €3 per play. Now, imagine any top song. Imagine how many times it's been played at RT than every radio station in the country, than every radio station in the world. Just like royalties alone, the way radio works is like they'll pick like 20 people for a month and rinse that for like 6 months. And it's like the money just stacks up.
Yeah.
Which is a this is a music podcast now, by the way.
This has been Derek's plan all along. He wants to make it a music podcast. He's been trying for 3 fucking years to make this a music.
No, but it's something that's really interesting because we have a kind of a storytelling tradition in Ireland that's connected to our singer songwriter tradition, but we also have issues in the way how radio and how other ways how do we get artists out there? How do we hear those certain voices? Is radio enough? Is our live venues enough? We know now it's getting more and more expensive to get concert tickets. And now, especially now when a lot of venues, because royalties checks are drying up for established artists, there's a lot of greatest hits tours.
Oh man, listen, it's grim to watch as well, because like, especially the ones who do not want to be there, you know? It's like,
phoning it in for 2 hours on stage.
And that's why it kind of looks like, I saw Kate Nash, I think last year at Independence, and she was so freaking good. But what I love was she carried the whole show, amazing, captivated everyone. And then second last song, play Foundations. She didn't need to like, have it built on that and open on that. And then in the middle, then one last time, it was like kind of sticking to your guns. But I think these like greatest hits tours are like,
yeah.
And usually it's the artists playing the songs they like the least because they played the most and heard the most. And it's like, yeah. I do a tour of like these 5 songs every night. It's like, yeah, it's not fun at all.
I can't wait until I'm 60 and I'm going to the Tebby Rex farewell tour.
Oh, man.
The third Tebby Rex farewell tour.
It's just Men Are Trash.
Yeah, yeah, 30,000 people in the point going, just play Men Are Trash and fuck off.
I'm like, but we did this, like, no, we don't give a fuck.
I remember once, a couple of years back, Bruce Springsteen did the Pete Seeger sessions and he said he's just playing this Pete Seeger stuff. It's a concept show and someone there was saying, was it Dance in the Dark, you prick.
I was
at a concert a long, long, long time ago with a few friends from school, and it was Red Hot Chili Peppers in Lansdowne Road. It was the worst gig I was ever at.
They were so bad.
They were
really
like, I've seen them. Yeah, they're really
bad. The support groups were the Walls, who were brilliant. They were great. And there was this Louis Walsh had tried to form a rock band called Red Lemon and they were terrible. The best moment of the whole day was when the lead singer fell on his hole. He was trying to do some moves while he was singing and he fell on his hole.
Of Red Lemon, like?
Yeah.
Man, it's grim.
And then, but the opening act of the whole thing was New Order. And I thought, New Order, this is going to be class. But they just absolutely didn't want to be there. Just a bunch of dudes in their 50s going like, fuck this. And we lost our mate, Sean. We're like, where's he gone? Where's Sean gone? I have no idea where he's gone. We were kind of worried because like we were sneaking into this gig. Like we're all under 18. We're all tanked. And we turned around and Sean is up on the shoulders of 2 strangers screaming at New Order, play Blue Monday and fuck off.
Like, I'm like, they hear that.
Oh, they did. The guy, he stopped the gig and started shouting abuse at Sean.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so Sean works in the music industry now.
That was his in. The guy was like, you know what? I didn't like you at first, but I like your energy. You want a job.
I like your passion. You recognize a good tune when you hear it. So yeah, so you guys got together, you started making music, but yeah. when do people start to listen? When do people start to pay attention? What was the moment?
It was, we released a song called It's 2 AM, and I think that was like, because I think you do a lot of experimenting as a band, you try to figure out what we sound like, what we want to sound like, and you know, some kind of processes, I believe is the term. Of how you guys want to record. So we did that one, and we got a write up on State Magazine, and we got like one of their rising artists for that year as well. And I think from there, later that year, we got EP, and it kind of like kickstarted. Was it that year? I think it was that year. Like kickstarted a lot of stuff for us as well. So probably It's 2 AM, which almost no one knows now. Like it's like deep in the recesses of YouTube and like somewhere on Spotify maybe. But yeah, that's when I think people were like, there's something here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you still happy with your back catalog? You still happy with It's 2 AM? Because one of my favorite recording artists is a guy called George Watsky.
Oh, I love Watsky.
Yeah. But like, he started off as a beat poet, and he started off writing humorous stuff and all that. And he's kind of separated. He goes like, if you look up George Watsky, you get all my old stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm now a serious rap artist, and it's all under Watsky, and you can't get it under. Yeah, so it's, but you guys still look back and you go like, you know, we were pretty fucking good.
Like some songs I'm like, oh man, that was so good. I was like, you know what, I would love to like rewrite and re-record and mix. It would do a lot better now, you know. It's like, because obviously there's more eyes on it now, but then some stuff I'm like, really not proud of it. Like, oh, why is this so angry and angsty? What am I angry about? Or like very much like, you were dating for like a week. You can't be this upset about this shit. You know? Like, so so it's kind of a mix. But I don't have that scorn towards my old stuff, because we're like, even in a similar to Watsky thing, which I think some of his new stuff is whopper, and then some of it is like not so much. But I think we're still just as silly. Like 4 years in, I think we're still as ridiculous. You know. So I know
I've seen your music video for Financial Controller.
Hey. I'm the financial controller. Give me the bag and I hold her. Give me a ride with a chauffeur. Give me the money, you know. I'm the financial controller. Give me the bag and I hold her. Give me a ride with a chauffeur. Give me the money, you know. Give me the bag and I.
Give me the bag and I.
Give me the bag and I. Give me the bag and I hold her.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Matt O looks like he's having too much fun dry humping that bag of money. And if nobody's seen the music video, now you have to go and see the music video for Financial Controller.
The funny thing was, like, we filmed that, right? And we made the video and we left it out. And our director was like, listen, I don't think we should put this in. And Matt's like, my Matt will see this. I don't think we should put this in. I was the only person like, can we at least put in the credits? It's just so funny. Keep it in there, please. But yeah. Yeah, her name's Lorelai. Good woman. Good bag of money.
Good bag of money.
I love that you're like, but my mom will see it. Like that's your concern in the back of it all. Like,
yo, we have written sexy songs and we're like, this is too sexy. Our parents will hear this. Like, you have to have that kind of like, who's going to listen to this? You know, kind of conversation with yourself.
Billie Eilish has that line in her song Bad Guy about like, her mom sings along to all her songs, but she's not going to sing to this one because it's fucking weird. Like, I love that.
It's like, seduce someone's dad. What? But you're a baby.
My mom doesn't listen to this podcast.
No.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
My mom, sometimes she listens in, then she'll message me. And it's like, we did an episode when we had Derek and Valerie coming in to talk about, you know, Gaelgor going out with a non-Gaelgor. Derek, that was absolutely lovely. And there's no swearing.
Speaking of mom, so I told my mom last night that there was somebody coming from Tebby Rex. And I was like, you know that band, Tebby Rex? And she was like, yeah, yeah. And then I could hear her on the phone to her sister saying that we were with that. She was like, you know, you're one who sings with that country band in America. And I was like, who the fuck does she? BB Rexa. She thought we were in with BB Rexa.
I thought she was going to go for Mark Boland or T-Rex or something. I was like, oh, sorry, he's dead.
No, I was like, I'm sorry. It's not that like Kosovan like woman who lives in America. No, it's not. And then she was Googling and she was like, oh, I do know them. And I was like,
even when you say, yeah, I told my mom I was coming with Tebby Rex. She's like, oh, Tebby Rex. I'm like, your mom knows Tebby Rex. I was a little bit like, I don't think so.
I think let's be really, really fair. You've gone beyond the point where you're relying on your moms to sort of give you the Spotify clicks
You know, yeah.
You can start recording stuff that maybe she doesn't want to listen to.
I mean, I'll make music for my man. Keep this in mind now. I'm just worried of like, and like she's very like, she's a very kind of interesting Nigerian woman where like she'll do things which I don't quite get. Like, for example, I was on a Late Late Show, right? And she said nothing about it. And then like 4 months later, she mentioned about like, yeah, I didn't really like that outfit you wore that day. I'm like, you saw me on TV and said nothing for like 4 months, only to finally critique what I was wearing and not mention the fact that I was on the late. I was like, I mean, because I don't think she gets it as well. Like that, it's like a staple in like Irish culture and stuff. But it's like, yeah, she's an interesting.
No, I think Nigerian mammies and Irish mammies are the fucking same.
I feel Jesus like if Christ, I was like, on the Late Late Show, Mom would be like, I didn't like what you were wearing. That'd be it. I'm like, well done being on the Late Late. Yeah, like, yeah, I didn't fucking like it. Like,
yeah, I can't believe you cursed.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have to use the foul language?
Oh, I loved it because like we did it, and I think because obviously we did it like with the Blizzards, right? And those guys are so sound, but their fan base, a lot of them is a little bit older. So a lot of like confused aunties and stuff on Twitter, like, it was nice now, but I didn't get that rapping bit in there. I wasn't really, what was that about? They were so confused as to why I was there. I was like,
oh, ouch. Oh, pain.
Oh, man. You know what the worst thing was? You know, the way the Blizzard's fan base is a little bit older? It means you and me, guys.
Yeah. I was our age. He was like, oh, the Blizzard's fan base is older. And I was like, I'm a Blizzard's fan.
Yeah, I went to see them in college.
Shit, am I old?
what age is everyone here? Expose yourselves.
40?
Ish.
35.
I'm 27.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, I feel like you guys are in different brackets there.
Yeah, we are in different brackets.
Yeah, but still, yeah, Blizzard's fan. Like, so,
well, when I was in Maynooth, the Blizzards were playing every fucking rag week.
Yeah.
Every.
Yeah. It was just back when we had a rag week. My God. Fucking
what? What? You ragged too hard, was it?
I ragged too hard and Daffy didn't get a rag week.
No.
Basically.
You never got a rag week?
No. Dude, they cancelled our Christmas Day because, like, you can't keep on setting the town on fire. We're like, we probably can.
One year we were meant to have Aslan playing out in during Rag Week, and Aslan cancelled because Christy got sick, and so like we were scrambling at the last minute, and we got Republic of Loose in, good band, great guys. Mick Pyro's an absolute gem. He managed to marshal the show. It was cool. The crowd were a little bit flagging. They were sort of like, oh, this isn't Aslan, this is a bit shit. And he went straight from You Know It into Comeback Girl, the two hit singles at the time of the year. He went straight from one to the other and lifted up, and the crowd were absolutely buoyant. It was brilliant. And they went down to the courtyard and pulled down a lamppost. Just literally reefed a lamppost down the street.
Why?
Because they were, you know.
Rock now there's no rally.
it's always the seminary boys who ruin everything, isn't it?
Wasn't the fucking Sams like
God? Yeah. Those boys were like, not to throw them under the bus, and like they were just really, really horny. Like, and it was like in the most like kind of, it was the most like kind of polite, I would say, like culturally horniness, where it's like they wouldn't talk to girls like, oh, she's fucking whopper, she is. And they would talk to him like, hey, he's like, oh Jesus, now you like, I was like, yeah, you'll say something. He's like, oh, no, can we do that now? But like constantly just like
ask your mate, will you shift it? Why you send your mate over?
So how's it work before they get ordained? They're supposed to get out of their system, is that it?
No, they're just like, they're,
sorry, whoa, hold the phone, these are actually trainee priests.
There are Sams in Maynooth, seminarians in St. Patrick's College in the South Campus of Maynooth.
That's why Ronan Mullen keeps getting in every Shannon election, because the seminary, because every priest in Ireland has gone, is in the college.
That's not why he gets in.
He gets in because there's an evil streak in the country.
We'll get rid of him this year.
We'll do it.
And we'll lead the campaign on it.
Do
the campaign. Yeah, honestly. Yeah. I think Sheena tried in fairness. So I don't know if you know Sheena Cahill, one of the other cool alums. She really tried to get him the fuck out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully. Well, you know, keep working out, keep plugging away, get in somebody representing a younger generation and likes. The thing about the Sams, and I was in Drama Society in Maynooth, and I was in the Coolooked, and I was in Lit and Deb. So like
you had no sex.
Oh man.
Hey, no, this is a fact. All Coolocks writing each other.
Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right.
I am not going to get into my own personal history of Maynooth, but there was an entire wall of the ladies' bathroom dedicated to graffiti about me. So.
Men are trash.
That sounds troubling.
I genuinely, the reason I love Men Are Trash so much is it is semi autobiographical.
Wow.
It's Coolocked Intentions, isn't it?
Coolocked Intentions.
Yeah. Yes, out! Ding, ding, bell for class. Like a test, you don't pass. Listen up, learn fast. Chapter one.
I never see you in person. Robbing mama's purses since I was a youngin'. Girlie say I love him, and I be like, I love you, until I gave the deed and then I be like, who you?
No, basically, all these Irish societies, it's all these elaborate. It's very soapy. It's very dramatic. There's lots of complicated kind of relationships, and don't tell this person I had this person's coming here, and you know, so this girl, you know, don't tell her we officially got together 2 weeks ago, not 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, when you look back, when you look back many years later, it's kind of childish.
What's that thing that you all do where it's like you go away for the weekend? It's like all the different Irish groups in the country. What's that called again?
Oh, the Oireachtas.
Yeah, Oireachtas.
Yeah, yeah.
It's incredible.
I'm already. I've been training for the next year. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get my bars up. Like have like. Be like, so I'm planning on going to base like a Gaeltacht area this summer, just for like a week.
Amazing.
And like, I'm building up to it, and then a rock this next.
So. Well, where are you going to go? What Gaeltacht?
What would you advise?
Ooh, see, right. Some people say Munster, best Irish going into Kerry, most beautiful part of the country. You go to West Cork, it's fantastic. Connemara is tremendous crack.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant. And like, you go to Connemara, that's where Cailleacha Lurgan is. That's where they do all the songs into Irish and all that. But if you want an absolute hack, the easiest Irish to learn is Donegal Irish.
Oh.
It's simplest.
Oh, the controversy. It is.
No forum taught you. You know what I mean? Like, everything is straightforward. Everything is on the level. It's dead on. But like, it's like, no, man, it's totally up to you. The world's your oyster.
Mm. Yeah.
Where would you like to go? You just have a look and just do it, man. Just do it.
That's it. I think I'm just going to go somewhere for like a week and like turn off my phone and just like really embed myself in it, you know?
Yeah. You won't need to turn off your phone though, because there's just no service out there. Like,
It's down the country. Nothing. You know that little Ford on your phone
that goes away.
They don't even get a H.
I think in Connemara it's just too easy to go back to Galway. It's too close.
They reamed the bus service. Like, it's gone. Like, it's not. You can't even do it. You're abandoned. You're out there. You're in the Gaeltacht.
Yeah. I'd love to be like on an island somewhere, like one of the
islands. Do the islands. Do English man then.
Yeah, just like really, really, like I can't even leave. You know what I'm saying?
And it's like, it's small. You can walk around it like in half a day. Like, you're not going anywhere. Like, you're not leaving that shit. Like,
we had Hector Hogg on recently. And he went to live on Inishman for a couple of years to get his Irish really, really good. Yeah. And so, yeah, maybe that's the way.
And now 20 years later, he's still working in Irish, in the Irish language. He's working on television. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
and
pretty
then
good.
I did see a thing the other day for Oireachtas na Samhna. We're having a thing for a dictionary events at Oireachtas na Samhna, and myself and one of my friends were like laughing at it. We're like, no one goes to the Oireachtas for the dictionary events. Like, it's the crack. Like,
first time I ever went to the Oireachtas was a couple of years ago, and they held it for the first time in a long time near where I live. So I'm from Clondalkin in Dublin. They held it in the City West Hotel, because the problem with the Oireachtas is it's gotten so big. There's only two or three venues in the country that can hold it now.
Oh, damn.
So there's like the Glen Eagle down in Killarney, which is huge, and they have like three hotels. They have the apartments, they have the Brehon, they have the Glen Eagle, and then there's City West, which is a big convention centre and a huge hotel. So they're the only places that can hold it. And like, I went up there thinking, I'm going to embed myself into this Gaelic paradise and everyone's going to be... But no, it's just pure fucking drinking. It's
riding.
A savage session, riding, all sorts. You know how I got a vision of the future that could be when I saw a dude who was about 20 years old puking in Irish. He's like, oh, I thought you were fossil. And I'm like, this is paradise.
Oh god.
Yeah. So psych yourself up for that one.
It's a lot.
It's good to have a target to work towards.
Yeah.
That's your goal.
This episode is sponsored by Feras na Gaeilge, who are celebrating 20 years of promoting the Irish language, Fiche Bliain Ag Fós. Language is about communication, and communication unites communities. So, community is at the heart of Feras na Gaeilge. Feras na Gaeilge creates a network of community-based Irish language development officers throughout the island of Ireland to support and promote Irish, ag leibhéal pobail, at community level. Through the language planning process, Feras na Gaeilge is responsible for developing 5 Irish language network communities and 13 Gaeltacht service towns, as well as other government initiatives. Feras na Gaeilge also funds Gaeilge Le Chéile, an initiative in townlands such as Clondalkin, Carn Tucker, Loughrea, Ennis and Belfast. That's in addition to Feras na Gaeilge supporting Irish language officers in communities all over the island of Ireland. Check out the great new words created over the past 20 years by the terminology wizards over on Feras na Gaeilge's Instagram handle, @Feras na Gaeilge. Fearas na Gaeilge, celebrating 20 years. Isi ar Dteanga Héanna. It's our language.
So what's next on the horizon for Tebby Rex and for you, Daffy? What's going on?
Oh, man. So we just did the album. The album came out like just over a month ago. And then, yeah, I just think like more shows and stuff. I think like we're looking at doing some a mini tour, doing some shows like outside the country and stuff like that. We were in Brighton this summer. And that was like fun, like for The Great Escape and stuff. It was like class. Mm-hmm. So yeah, more of that really.
Amazing.
Excellent.
That's cool. Can I ask a personal question?
Always, always.
Okay, so when Maddo goes and does a track without you, like Lovely, which is actually a really nice, really nice cut, is that cheating? Do you feel betrayed?
Nah, I don't. Not at all. For one, because I've done it to him like more times than I've done it to him. Although, when I do tracks outside the band, I kind of sabotage him a little bit. I'm like, this is just for like the art. I'm only putting on a band camp, but we're, like, you have to pass a puzzle to get access to it. I don't try to make it big. He did with Chris Cabs. That did good streams as well. That did good numbers. But no, I think honestly, like, you need to, because that song Lovely, which is a great example, I could not have been on that song. Like, there's no part for me on that song. Like, it's too smooth and clean and nice. My voice is too coarse for it. That wouldn't have made sense. I think that's the same where, like, there's songs that I want to do that Matt just couldn't be on. It wouldn't make sense. It'd be, like, forcing it. So I think, yeah, do that. It's all about being creative and stuff. Enjoying
yourself.
So you
guys got a healthy, open relationship?
Yeah, man. It's like we have rules to open relationship, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Can't bring anyone to our bedroom. But besides that.
When you put a sock on the door handle, it's like, I'm recording with someone else, Matt. I can't wait to catch you guys at your next year. Can't wait to see you at the Arachna Staffy.
Oh man, it's gonna be such a event. I can't wait. We'll do a show there one.
Yeah, they'd let you. They'd be down for that.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're writing more and more music in Irish, but it's like it's lines and parts of verses. So yeah. Like. Except we played, what was that Irish festival that got cancelled, but we still kind of played again. What was that called again?
Oh, the one that got cancelled was Raveload.
Raveload, right? So it got cancelled. Then it was happening.
But they did a gig in the Sugar Club.
Where was the one? It was the one on Harcourt Street.
Harcourt Street. Club. Oh, you played the club?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, amazing.
But too much of my stuff was in English, and they were kind of like. So if I do something like that again, I want to have full verses, or at least 50% of verses, like, you know, in Irish and stuff. And I'm writing a little bit more in it now, but it's like, I think I'm writing at like maybe a 10-year-old level. So it's like, it's coming along, but it's not quite presentable yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, it's like, listen, good, if you listen to what's really happening in the Irish music scene at the moment, it's, you take a band like Kneecap and what they're doing is like, it doesn't matter. Irish or English, I'm going to put in what's the best for the sentiment, what's the best for the rhyme, what's the best for the rhythm.
Yeah.
So this line's going to be in English, and this line's going to be all in Irish. This line's going to be in English, but I need this word in Irish because otherwise it doesn't rhyme, or I need this one to be. So, I mean, you can just play with language and you can just fuck around with it a bit.
Yeah.
Like. I think it's funny because when I started rapping when I was like 12 or something, I was absolutely fiend for doing this, where I always would like rap in like the accent I speak in, which is like, it's funny because people... It's very like, after doing speech therapy and stuff like that, it's very like kind of clean, so it comes off as a little American sometimes, but then certain words will come off very like kind of killed air and stuff. But when I was rapping, writing raps, I would use like purely American slang, and that was one thing that I was like, I had to reflect on that. Maybe I was like actually even 18 or 19, I'm like, why am I, because I would be like my crib, I'm like, I would say gaff. There's no reason for me not to put gaff in the line instead of saying crib or some shit like that. So is that process now of like trying to be more authentic in like writing the way I would speak. And then now I want to incorporate more like Irish words into it and stuff like that, and really kind of blend it culturally, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I love that though, because I was actually thinking that. I was only listening to a podcast recently about accents and about rapping and how it can be very, like, so they were using Iggy Azalea as an example, a woman from Australia who kind of almost to the point where it's actually tone deaf, the way that she raps. But when I was listening to you on the way over, I was thinking, I was like, you know, it's actually the whole, yourself and Matt, like you both have this, like, you can totally tell that there's Irishisms in it. And I love that, like, you talk about your gaff and it was purely Irish references and like Irish kind of terminologies just kind of thrown in there that is just so unique. And I thought that was really like that, like authentic, like it's just really, really nice that way. And I'd love to see that with Irish as well.
So also, cool. Is there Kildare slang? Is that not just Dublin slang with an accent?
No, because we be stealing stuff from like Carlo and the like. We be like taking it.
Just asked, what's the street with dices on? This is some culture content right here.
I don't know streets here. Like, he's like Lombard Street. What the fuck is a Lombard Street? I don't know that. Where is it in contrast the spire. Is it facing the spire, behind the spire? Tell me where to go.
Go to Connolly Station and just keep heading south.
Oh, my people, I love this.
If you get to Kennedy's, you've gone too far. So, before we wrap up, we do like to ask our guests if they have a favourite Irish word or Irish term. Do you think you have one yet? Or
I mean, because I was going to say I really liked... I'm here, I'm panicking, I'm floundering.
No, here, right? we this is a safe space. We love you no matter
Anish,
what.
Anish, yeah, this because like it's in you know the way a lot of languages, right? So especially let's say and it's a small thing, but you know where I really like how things like sound and stuff. Mm-hmm. So in let's say Nigerian, and my would be a Urbo. So it's like there's little like sharp things there that would be used not even in the context of what they're for, but to kind of like shut people up or get them to quicken up or like mean like seven different things. Yeah. I've seen Matt use that in this like passing to like not even like. Mean what it means, but it's like it just sounds like, you know,
yeah, like anish, anish,
yeah, 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 stuff like that.
Yeah, so it does have that immediacy that I guess you don't get.
I like
English.
It, anish. Yeah.
I feel like usually with Irish, it's a very like what's the word? It's a quite flowery language.
Yeah.
I think I like curtness in some words as well. To have that there as well, to be like very.
It's a really onomatopoeic language. Like I always find that like the word sounds exactly like what it is. Like no matter what, like, anish sounds like. Come on, get it together, anish. Come on. Like, yeah.
And it's fun to say.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun to say. Yeah. That's my main selling point.
Love that.
Davy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Listen.
Yeah, absolutely our pleasure. Where can people find your tunes?
If you just look up Tebi Rex, TEBIOREX, on YouTube or Twitter or Instagram would be about. Must have Matt here sometime would be a lot better. He'd be a lot more interesting.
I know, you're pretty brilliant.
We're friends. Is this friendship?
So, until the next time, it is a slán from me.
It's a slán from shit.
And a slán from me.
Slán. Wait, no, that's drinking. Ah, slán.
That's all good. That's all good. Slán is good.
No, that's drinking. I love that.
Unleash.
Hey, thank you so much, Daffy, for being our guest today. We had a lot of fun. He was a great crack.
That was brilliant. Mm-hmm.
It's totally great stuff.
He's gone straight into our top three guests.
Yeah, absolutely. Great guy. Yeah.
We're not going to tell you who the other two are.
No. I will, because they brought gifts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You figure that one out for yourselves. Answers on a postcard to motherfucklore@headstuff.org.
And you can send your other queries, questions, remarks, observations, and suggestions.
Fan art.
To motherfucklore@headstuff.org. We love fan art.
Yes,
Ban Reen. And thank you so much to Brian for producing. Thank you to Kirsten Scheele for doing our art.
Agus gur a míle míle mahagav go Forest na Gaeilge as an tachiacht. Many thanks to Forest na Gaeilge, proud sponsors of Mother Folklore.
Mother Folklore comes out every Friday on the Headstuff Podcast Network. If you can't wait for Mother Folklore, there's some really good other shows on the network, like Up to 90.
Yeah, that one's all about the 90s.
On the 90s.
So, until next time, mind yourselves. Slán.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
As a personal ASMR freak, I am offended. My burrito got some guac in it.